This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode may contain explicit language. Welcome to Karen Feeding, the show where we raise the next generation together. I'm Lucy Lopez. I host another podcast, the Mamacita Rica podcast. I'm mother to Amelia, who's 13, Avery, who's 11, and we live in Miami, Florida.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make another show as well. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I am dad to Noah, who's 6, and Ami, who's 3. We live in Detroit.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of 3 littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 9, and Teddy, who's 7. We live in Tokyo, Japan.
So for the next 2 episodes, we're putting the feeding in care and feeding and talking about your food questions. Today, we'll help a mom who's struggling to feed her picky eater on the road. And then, of course, we'll debrief on our week with a round of triumphs and fails. Oh, I got a good one for you guys this week. So let's get this started. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll see you back here for our listener question.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, we're back. Here's our question. It came into our Karen Feeding email inbox.
Dear Karen Feeding, I have a question about traveling to a foreign country with a picky eater. My husband and I have a delightful 6-year-old kid whose current diet mostly consists of pasta, hot dogs, fruit, and peanut butter and jelly. I have a brother who lives in Kenya, who I visited once prior to meeting my husband, and it was one of the most amazing experiences in my life. We've traveled with our kid quite a bit, and he's an excellent traveler overall. He's always found something to eat, but most of the places we've gone have been pretty American kid-friendly. My husband does not want to take this trip in the next 2 years. It's a big trip, and once we get there, his argument is that everyone will be miserable trying to feed our child food he won't eat, and he'll be hungry, and it will just be a disaster. My counterargument is that he will not starve. He's just going to have to figure out how to eat in a country that has food he's not used to. And we probably will find something he'll eat and then just keep getting that. But my husband thinks our son's picky eating will ruin the trip and is not interested in spending the time and money to be that stressed and annoyed about food. Do we miss out on this opportunity to travel in Kenya with family? Or is my husband right? This would be miserable and we can always go to Kenya on our own when he's older. Thanks, wannabe adventurer.
All right, Elizabeth, clearly this is all you, girl. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, don't write in if you think I'm going to tell you not to go.
That would be to write in for me. That email would only go to me.
I am obviously going to tell you to go. And so there's 2 things to this. First, the stress about the food. The only people, your child is not going to stress about the food. The only people stressing about the food are you and your husband. So you just decide mm-hmm. not to be stressed about the food. When we travel, for as much as we travel a lot with the kids, food is still always an issue. Like sometimes it's an issue for the adults too. Like sometimes we're places where the food just looks different or they're cooking things different, whatever. And it's quite challenging. We just have decided fed is best. And so if that means that we're doing the bakery or doing bread, like things that we would normally be way more calculated and balanced, we just sort of try to let go and say fed is best. So I think number one, just you and your husband decide fed for the family is best.
So what you're saying is don't introduce your kid to tuna tartare on this vacation to Kenya.
I'm not saying don't introduce, well, I don't know that tuna tartare is what you're introducing in Kenya, but yes, I think introducing it is fine, but thinking that
they'll go for it or banking on them going for it.
Yeah, exactly. Zach, I think that's exactly the point is like, what I think is so great about traveling is that your kids are about to see a whole bunch of different food and be invited to try it and you never know. Like the kids, sometimes they try stuff that you would never try and they love it. So I think that's like a wonderful thing, but don't make it that like if they don't eat this meal at this restaurant or if they don't, you know, like try everything or eat everything that you're so stressed. And I think the way that you can do that, and this is courtesy of a friend we traveled with when the kids were really little named Amber. Amber would pack, no matter where we went, she would pack big jars of peanut butter because you can right. get some kind of bread substance pretty much anywhere yep. in the world. And we would just slap the peanut butter on the bread for the kids before we went to eat, bring books or games for the children, order food, and get little plates for your kids. Anywhere we went. And if they're going to eat a whole bunch, you can always order more. And if not, they've had a peanut butter sandwich. So I think just like making sure that they're not starving is good enough. So whatever that peanut butter, it could be sun butter, it could be whatever. You can get peanut butter also pretty much anywhere in the world. And I know for certain that you can get it in Kenya. So yeah. You can pack some, but you can also just get it there. The other big thing that we always do when we're traveling is like stop number one is the grocery store, is the local grocery store. And if that means you need to ask like a driver, or I mean, here you're visiting family, so have your family even pre-stock up or prepare you. But we take the kids to the grocery store and let them pick out things
what
that look interesting to them.
What are you saying right now? You take your child to a grocery store to where you're traveling to so they can pick...
Yes.
What are you saying?
Otherwise, you're tied to restaurants.
This is why
the whole trip.
This is why I feel like you're like the most perfect mom because I can't even travel to Target with somebody under the age of 10, let alone Kenya. And you're saying, hey, when you show up, look for a grocery store. Whatever happened to just like you're gonna eat where you're gonna eat? This is what you're gonna eat. Is that bad? Am I wrong?
I mean, no, but I think if you. Like, I guess the question is, if you go to the restaurant day after day or you're like going to pick up street food, whatever you're going to do, and your kids turn their nose up at everything, are you stressed out by that?
No. No, because I'm going to be like,
then you're fine. Then this is not for you.
Then I guess you're going to go to sleep
then
hungry.
Do that.
Why can't the mom just be like, this is find the chicken nugget, quote unquote, on the menu or find that food, right? That's also what you're saying too,
see,
right?
See, honey, that is... No, no. The whole rest of the world is not feeding their kids nuggies.
No, neither am I. But I'm just saying, like, you're going to go to a restaurant in a place that you're first traveling with somebody under the age of 10, which is blowing my mind. But then we got to go to the grocery store? Oh, my God.
The grocery store is, like, a huge part of any trip. Like, how do you even know about a culture or about a place if you haven't been in the grocery store?
Yeah, the grocery store, the big, like, central market, like the farmer's market thing.
Maybe I'm not ready to travel with children and my kids are literally 13 and 11 and I can't even imagine telling my kid, we're going to stop at the grocery store to pick out something you want to eat. I don't know, Elizabeth.
Yeah, but what, like, okay, even if you're not doing, like, don't you travel with snacks? Where are you going to get those snacks?
Okay.
The grocery store.
Okay, fine. I guess you're right. I hear your point of view.
No, I don't have to be right.
I know you don't have to be right. But like for me, I'm the parent that's more so like, it just seems like so much to accommodate somebody who gave $0 to this trip to Kenya.
Like it's too much. You're saying, Lucy, that it's not worth it. You should just wait until the kid's older.
A little bit.
Which is the divide that this family is.
A little bit. And yeah, then what I do love about what you're saying is you're right. There's bread everywhere. There's peanut butter. Just last weekend, I was taking care of my nephew and I knew he wasn't going to eat anything where we were going. And I took a jar of peanut butter and my husband looked at me and goes, you don't even do that for our kids. I'm like, well, I feel like this is what the cool parents at Slate do. But I don't know. Like, okay, I get it. Sorry, it just threw me off the whole grocery shopping on vacation. My bad.
No, I think some kids would like it and maybe some kids won't. My kids are into that, are into the grocery shop. I mean, it's bright and shiny. And especially if you say like you get to pick some things out, you can kind of gamify it a bit.
Yeah, like check out the new snacks.
They know these are like the snacks for the rest of the trip. Like okay. This is they're picking out their food for the trip.
Okay.
I think it also helps us set our expectations pretty much right off the bat, like how hard of a food trip is this going to be? You know what I mean? Because if you go in and it's like, there's Ritz crackers, right? Like you're like, all right, we're going to be okay. But if you go in and I mean, or if your person says like, oh, there's no grocery store, or you go into some little market, which we have certainly been places, then we're like, all right, how are we going to proceed?
Got it.
And your family member lives in Kenya. Want to be adventurers, so they are going to have some insight. Like I don't know if they're in the city, in the country, or what, but they're going to have some insight into what you can get at the grocery store or at the the local market. So lean on them too for that background. But I think that there's like a thing you could do. You can plan on doing the peanut butter thing. I think that's a really smart backup plan. And like, but you don't necessarily have to let your kid know that. I would first go to like the restaurant on the first day without your kid knowing that you have the backup food and say like, this is what we're eating here, and like see if they'll force themselves into eating that because they're hungry.
Right.
And then they might be like, ooh, this is tasty. This rice and chicken thing is actually delicious. And then you're setting a precedent, and then because they think that there's no alternative. And then if they do turn their nose at it, which there's an 85% chance that they will, then you bust your little peanut butter pouches out of your fanny pack and say, fine, have some peanut butter.
See, I actually find that by feeding them first and like priming them, we've eliminated that like panic and the chaos of hungry children.
Right.
And so.
But if it's just one meal, right? Just like go to the first
and
meal.
It's going to happen then, right like, at the airport or when you get there or
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have like this. I'm starting to realize I'm maybe either a super cheap parent, or some of my like my mom's the way that my mom parented me and my sister is like seeping into me now as an adult. And all I can imagine is being like walking into a grocery store and in a foreign country and my kids going absolutely apeshit down the snack aisle and me be like, no, you can't have all that. So I guess I'm also thinking about that stress, but you are right, Elizabeth. Like I'm listening to myself now. You are making sense. I mean, if you want to make it like a trip and have some education behind that grocery trip and look, this is how they shop here. Let's check it out and pick something out that looks yummy to you. I get that. I totally get that. I agree with you-ish. Ish? Agree with you-ish.
I do think, going back to your point of like, should you be taking these young kids on this trip? Is it ruining it? Like, so first of all, I think when you're traveling with them, it's a question of like, is this the time that you're going to enjoy this? I think it is perfectly reasonable for you to say traveling with kids is not something I am interested in doing, and I do not want to spend the money doing that. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
For me, traveling with kids is everything. Like, it is, it has completely changed the way that I travel and do things.
But you're the gold standard for that. Like, I admire you.
You're Dutch Goose.
You're so amazing. Yes, you're Dutch. I mean, you're amazing.
But it doesn't mean that it's not a shit show. Like, do not believe that every trip I take is not a complete and utter shit show. It is. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
I have this picture of you walking around with a grocery list in this foreign land.
No, you can't make a list because you don't know what's in the store.
But for some reason, go to the store. This is where my imagination goes. And I have complete panic over this woman's trip to Kenya.
No, but if I'm in the store and I know, like, okay, so I get there and I go to the grocery store, I automatically start knowing, like, okay, they either have yogurt or they don't have yogurt. And this is what the yogurt is made of. They have this, which means that when I get to the restaurant, I already know, in my head, I'm already thinking, like, well, these are the things I know they have, mm-hmm. right? So, like, for example, if you come to Japan and you go to the grocery store, the first thing you're going to realize is, like, we don't have any fruit. There's no fruit here. Really? I mean, there is fruit. It's just really expensive.
Okay.
So automatically you start thinking, like, okay, well, there's an entire category of food that most children eat pretty readily that is just not going to really be available to us. Or it's going to be available, but we are going to pay a ton of money. So, like, it just mm-hmm. helps me kind of understand. I do want to give some quick pointers, though, about being at the restaurant. There are children in all of the places that you are traveling. And so one of the things I always do is use Google Translate if let's say English is not their first language and I don't, or like they're having trouble understanding my English, because one of the things I am not very good at is languages, to kind of ask them, like, if you had a young child, so even if your kid is like 10 and they're kind of a picky eater, if you had a young child in the restaurant, what would you order? What would you order for your young child, or what do you serve children here? I would say in almost every case, they will make up something that is not on the menu, that is made of the ingredients, that is a kid's plate.
Oh, okay.
So not necessarily like a kid's meal, but they will bring you, like, most of the world eats rice. If your child eats rice and bread, you're going to be able to put calories in their belly. But they'll do, like, a little yeah. thing of rice, a little thing of, like, undressed cooked vegetables, right? I'm not sure. I didn't check, like, what the water requirements are in Kenya. There's some places in the world where you need to be really careful about fruits and vegetables and how they've been washed, just because your body is not used to the kind of natural bacteria and things in the water. So obviously check into all of that. But we have had, like, when we were in Taiwan, eating was actually quite difficult for all of us. Like, we just didn't like the way things were prepared, but we were able to ask kind of like, how would you prepare stuff for kids? And they would bring out a really nice kind of separated plate of really basic, like, here are some greens that have been cooked, but there's nothing on them. I think, though, for us, because we've traveled so much with the kids, they're willing to try and eat things, you know, and they sort of know we're not going to let them starve, and we've certainly done.
They sort of know.
Yeah, like we've had chip lunches. Yeah. Like, guys, what we found at the gas station was chips. We're going to eat chips until we feel full.
There's, so in Kenya, and again, you have a family member there, so you are going to have some working knowledge of whatever town or city you're going to be in, but there's a massive grocery store. I did a little research called Naivas. It's like the national grocery chain. It's in all the big and small towns. I'm on their Instagram. Dude, they've got cornflakes. They've got hot dogs. They have ginger ale. They have grapes. They have cookies. They have rice. Like, I think this, you're going to be fine. I mean, maybe you're not going to eat so adventurously in restaurants, but you're going to be able to get food that your kid will eat, and you can prepare it and bring it in your big purse to wherever you go.
They have so much fruit in Kenya. So,
oh yeah, it's
so
gonna be beautiful fruit and vegetables.
Just eat fruit your whole trip. You'll want to eat the fruit.
Fruit and rice. Yeah,
I do think now, get by on that. Most places, it would actually be really hard. I mean, unless you're like backpacking or something, or you're not in major towns, to go someplace that doesn't have some kind of international grocery store. And of course, again, you're going to pay more for imported products than you are for local products, but it's doable. Like, it's, if you were in such a scenario, which is why I think like the big part of this is just to mind shift and be like, listen, we can still try the food, but the kids don't necessarily have to try the food. Like, that is not the mark of a successful trip. And longtime listeners will know that I think the absolute advice for traveling with kids is extremely low expectations. Your expectation of the trip for kids will be like, we will go there, we will see some things, and we will come home.
This is, I was dying to hear what you were going to say to this listener, because again, I just have these ideas in my head that Elizabeth walks into a grocery store in the middle of the world with a list and knows what's up. And it's like pressure. I'm like, but I would never set foot in a grocery store. But being the circumstances, I get it. I totally get it. I'm just also a little bit of the school where it's like, you're going to have a piece of steak and then you're going to have some potatoes and eat this. You're going to try it and you're going to like it. And I'm sometimes that parent, and sometimes it works. And sometimes, like you said, it brings on unwanted anxiety to the trip, to my husband and I, who are trying to have like somewhat of a nice evening at this restaurant. And, you know, the 11-year-old at the table is looking at me and going, do I have to try this? And I'm like, yes. And I'm saying it through my teeth. And I completely understand your point of view where you're like, well, you can avoid that by doing all this. But I also am the type of, Elizabeth is currently laughing at me. I am also the kind of parent.
Yes, that's the point.
I'm also the parent who's like, we're going where? With somebody who's under the age of 10, who's contributed zero to this trip? Nah, we're good. You can stay home. We'll go do something else with you where you can maybe explore a little bit more with your taste buds, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just the parent that I am. I don't know.
That's okay, though. I think if you don't want to travel with your kids, don't. I mean, seriously, I will say that the more you do it, the easier it becomes, right? So if it's something
you're kind of breaking the seal with this first trip,
do it now.
Right.
Yeah.
We also have kids for a really long time. They're in your house and they're around for a really long time. And for Jeff and I, it was like, if we wait, we'll never go.
Right.
Right. Damn. On that note, how badass is it that you get to go to Kenya with your kid? Like, that blows my mind. The only place out of the U.S. our kids and I have traveled is the Bahamas, because it's literally an hour away, you know? So, I don't know. That's so amazing. I hope you and your family have, like, the best time ever. And that you do go to the grocery store. And if you do, please take a selfie and tag.
Yeah,
tag us, please.
There's nothing better than traveling where your family or a friend is. I will say that. Like, do not, I think my gut instinct is like, do not pass up this opportunity, because once you have to like book a hotel or have someone, like the opportunity to have someone that knows all of these things and knows where to send you and where to go is like, that's like, now you know, it's like having a travel agent and a hotel and like someone for emergencies. Do not pass this up. Leave your husband at home.
Listeners, we always want to know what you think. You can email us at KarenFeedingPod@slate.com, or our favorite option, leave us a voicemail, 646-357-9318. We want to hear from you, like for realsies. Okay, listeners, we're going to go take another quick break and we'll be right back in a second for triumphs and fails. Get ready in just a sec.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now: getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nickelodeon's got your preschoolers covered from sunrise to bedtime with four brand new podcasts. Grab their backpack and go on a culinary quest with Dora's Recipe for Adventure. Make game time great time with Let's Guess Who with Josh and Blue. And tuck in for adventure with Nickelodeon's Goodnight Bedtime Stories. Plus, we've got a brand new season of Storytime with Josh and Blue. Search Nickelodeon on your favorite podcast app to listen.
We're back and moving on to a segment we called Triumphs and Fails. Zach, do you have any triumphs or fails for us this week?
I do. I have a fail. Hami is on like day, what day is it? He's like on day 12 of a cough. And, you know, my wife, Shira, she's trained as a pediatrician. She hadn't been worried about it. And then the other night it turned into croup. It was just like bad cough. And then the bark started, you know, the croup bark.
The croup bark.
And so she took him in to our pediatrician and they gave him the steroid. And the bark has gone away, but now it's just cough. He's been home from school now for too many days to count. And he's so bad at taking medicine. Like if it were Noah, we would be like, you know, we'd be giving her the natural cough and cold stuff. We'd be giving her honey. We'd be giving her tea. But he like refuses so much of it that he's a bad patient. And
sorry.
And he, no, it's fine. Please laugh.
Funny to us, not funny.
I know.
It's okay. I mean, he's comfortable enough to be sitting and watching TV right now. Like he's okay. He's not. He's still laughing and smiling. So he's fine. But it's just like these kids, man. They go to school in these petri dishes, and there's just always something. Like we haven't had a week. I should have kept track. It would have been interesting. Has there been any week this year that one of the kids hasn't been homesick at least once? I'm not sure if there has. There have been very few. And you know, all in all, relatively speaking, they don't have any chronic illnesses, and they're usually up and at them. Certainly a lot quicker than, you know, 12 days of a cough and now a cough and cold. But it sucks when like your kid is sick, of course, but also like there are these things we can be doing for him. We have the humidifier, but there's all these other things that if he were just like willing to, you know, let us give him some stuff, I think it would be easier on him. But the other day we tried to give him something. He's like, no, I want a cough. I don't want this. So I'm hoping that he ages out of this stubborn patient mode. But yeah, it's a germy moment here in the Rosenhaus.
Okay, so my grandmother used to cut. Oh my gosh, this is terrible! I can't believe I'm sharing this with the world.
Tell me. Okay, tell me how your grandma tortured you.
My abuela used to cut a red onion in half and put it in my room to pick up all the toxins.
Where would she put it?
Next to my bedside for 2 days, and then change it out until the. Because she says la cebolla, the onion would recoge todo lo malo, like pick up all the bad vibes and also whatever germ you had.
Love it.
Another thing my grandmother would do was get vapor rub, but she would call it.
Yes, he'll let me put that on his chest. Rub,
and then you put it all over his chest and on the bottom of his feet and put socks on him. Tonight.
I'll try the rub on the feet. I've only done it on the chest.
Oh my gosh. If vapor rub works on your baby, I am going to be so happy. So you put the vapor rub on the bottom of their feet and you put socks on them right before they go to sleep. And it will calm down the coughing. Also, if you can find a eucalyptus and tie it over their bed. It's nothing. It's just eucalyptus. It's just a smell opens up their lungs.
I like that. Okay. I like this, the Lucy Lopez folk medicine hour.
I want the picture with the onion and the eucalyptus.
The onion, the eucalyptus, yes.
I saw that whole onion thing really popular on TikTok, and I'm like, my grandmother used to.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
We use them for ear infections. We put them on the kids' ears for ear infections.
You put the onion on the ear, straight up on the ear. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a little beanie.
I'll try anything. I'll try anything. Great.
Welcome, welcome to weird things we do at home because our kids are sick. I have to ask, is Ami is he locked jaw with the medicine? Is he...
Yeah, like if we give it to him,
back
like,
out of his mouth.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Spit it out, dribble out.
That is Oliver.
Like he makes us like pin him down.
Yeah. And you he'll know, like hold just, it, and then it just like comes yeah. out. You're like, just swallow the medicine.
Exactly. Yep.
Oliver did eventually grow out of some of that. There are still good things he just
yep.
won't take. Is it a liquid something?
Yeah, the you know, because you can't give them like yeah. actual cough medicine yet.
I just
but
didn't
yeah,
know. Did they? Is it flavored?
It's like the Zenders honey. Yeah, it's like honey flavor. Okay. Like he won't even. I tried to give him a tablespoon of honey.
Yeah,
today.
I was gonna say like the honey. He won't even eat the honey.
No, no.
Have you tried dyeing the honey? Like, there was a time here. I'm sorry, where Amelia just wouldn't have honey when she had these coughs or like a cough attack, whatever. And then I came up with this thing that I invented where I got the mason jar and I filled it with regular honey and then I put red dye in it. And then my husband freaked out. He's like, we can't be giving our kids red. I go, shut up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the tooth fairy left this because she heard you had a cough. And huh. I put a label on it, said from the tooth fairy to Amelia. And Amelia uh-huh. down that honey, because I invented this whole story. Maybe you should do the same. Like, transfer okay. the medicine to something else. Make a label on it. Be like, you know, honey sent from Santa or honey sent from grandma, I don't know what. Like, make something up. What's Ami's favorite cartoon?
Right, if it was like sent by...
You know, like maybe it was, hey, this honey right. was made...
Buzz Lightyear
was
honey.
Made by Buzz Lightyear. And maybe dye yep. it green.
Just for you.
Covered in stickers.
Okay.
I mean, is it extra? Like making a grocery list to go to a grocery store in Kenya? Yes, it is. Yes. Yes. It's that extra of me.
I am. Do I mean, it. Extra. I'm here for extra. Lucy just jogged my memory that there's... they're called Manuka honey pops.
Yes.
And they're lollipops made entirely of Manuka honey. Do you have those? He won't even take a lollipop.
He'll occasionally take a lollipop, but I should get those. That's a good idea.
Get those. Yeah. Get the lollipops.
Great.
Hey, and take the extraness like one extra step, like get like an empty Amazon box and put his name on it and be like, hey, Ami, you just got this in the mail.
Yeah.
Who's okay. this from?
Okay.
Candy in the mail. You should eat this.
What stranger sent you this candy? Yeah.
Buzz Lightyear? Right. Buzz Lightyear knows where you live. Wait a minute. And do a letter. Fake it.
I like this. These are good tips. Thank you.
I feel you, though. I don't know about you, but like when the kids are coughing for a long time, it like gets on my
oh,
last
yeah.
nerve.
It's painful
And then
for
I
us.
Feel terrible because yeah. I'm like, well, they're sick and I'm annoyed. Exactly right.
Exactly right. Yes.
And nobody is sleeping.
That's right.
Yeah. No, they're all asleep. That's the thing. They're like coughing, but they're fine.
No, but you and me.
And Jeff yeah, is fine. It's,
oh, no, yeah, it's me.
Oh, wait, I'm like we're thinking up. About how my kid is coughing.
Yeah. Yeah. Elizabeth, what have you got? A triumph or fail?
I'm taking a triumph this
right.
week, but I'm taking credit for a triumph of my children. So as I mentioned last week, Jeff is in the U.S. with Henry, so I'm down to two kids here, which when you have three and one goes away, two feels great. Like it's just
one less
body. I have discovered, though, I will say that Henry, so I guess this is like a triumph for Henry. There's a lot of stuff Henry's been doing around here that I sort of thought all the boys were doing, but they all sleep in the same room, and that room has been a nightmare since he's been gone. And he must be the one wiping down their toilet seat because that toilet in the week that he's been gone, I did tell him this and he was like, I told you. So kudos to Henry. But the big win is that when Jeff is gone, obviously the schedule has to totally change because there's one of me to get them where they need to go. And Oliver takes fencing, which has been on the English class is on Saturdays. And I find Saturday sports to be really problematic to my family time and family social schedule. And so I've been looking for a way, like he loves fencing. And so obviously we're going to go, but I've been looking for like another class that he could take. But the only other classes are Japanese. We took him to a Tuesday class, but it's like Tuesday at 7, which is getting kind of late for him. My kids go to bed a little bit, or like by 7, we're usually kind of like winding down. I mean, we're definitely not asleep, but the kids are winding down. So it was late. It was all in Japanese. And I can't stay. Like, he'll go to that class when Jeff is here because Jeff will take him and stay at the class. I can't stay because I have other kids that need to be like moving towards bed or doing things. And this is the selfish one. Parking the car there is really difficult. So we have to drive because he has this big fencing bag that I'm just like really not willing to take on the train. And to park, it's like this robot parking situation. You like put the car on this turntable and it turns it and then it puts
so
it into
cool.
a void.
So
like,
cool.
And then you put, well, twice it has gotten stuck while Jeff is using it. So I'm terrified. One, I'm terrified of doing something wrong. Two, I'm terrified of not getting my car back. Three, it's expensive. So I told Oliver basically, listen, man, I can drive and drop you off, but I can't like come and stay, which I feel like we just never really, we always try to just accommodate. And so they started this new Tuesday at 5 o'clock class that is like partially in English, partially in Japanese, which is good because it gives him more people to fence. And so I took him, it's of course Wednesday here, I took him yesterday and he was like very able to process. He was like, I want you to come because I like having you there because when I feel nervous, it's nice to see you. Aww. But I know that you need to get home and like get Teddy ready for bed and that parking the car is a problem. So I'm going to go and I'm going to be like brave. And I'm like, okay, great. And then when I picked him up, he was like, I had a great time. And I know that going on Tuesday means we can like do more stuff on Saturday. So I'd like to keep going on Tuesday, even though it's a little bit harder. And I was just like, this is great. Like he's processing his stuff. He's like understanding.
Yes, girl.
You know, and like able to say like, I'm willing to do this for all of us. Like it was just such a nice, such a good like opportunity. We got this nice little drive back from class together and he was, you know, chatting and he was like, well, this is kind of fun. And he said like, even when daddy's home, like, can you drive me so that we can have this like talk time in the car? And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. This is great. So I big triumph wow. that we're sort of he's able
so
to
cool.
now go, you know, not fully on his own, but he's going to class all by himself.
Is he proud?
Like such a great frees up an hour
that's
and
so
a half
cool.
of my time, basically. He's so proud and he's so happy. And he gets to fence more kids. Like the problem with the English class also is like it's the same four kids. But if he goes to this other class, like it's a much larger group. And in something like fencing, it's all about how many different types of fencers you get to, you know, it's a lot easier to beat someone who you fence with because you know what they're going to do.
How do you travel with a sword?
Like, like around the city.
Yeah.
We have a bat. There's a fencing bag. I mean, that's why I don't want to go. It has wheels and you drag it behind you, but that's why I don't want to take it on the train.
So it's not like just like on his belt and he can just like,
no, I mean, that would be out, amazing.
Like, yeah.
Well, and the thing is he has two because there's like different types
wow.
of fencing. And in the US our fencing club did one type. And then when we moved here, the fencing club does a different
okay.
type, which of course requires a different
sword
weapon.
Okay.
Can I just say that was like the most dad reaction to like the most beautiful story ever. Like this is why I'm obsessed with you, Zach, because like you're so chill about shit and you were just like she's literally about to cry sharing this huge emotional monument in this child's life and you were like,
I have a logistical question.
So how do we travel with that sword? Like you guys got a bag for it? Is there an air tag on it? Like that, my friend, that, like I love you for that. Thank you.
If we didn't have the sword, he could just take the train. It's a very he could just get on the train with his little book bag. I do wonder now how the other fencers get there with their stuff.
And also I wonder what kind of bag they use to travel with the sword.
Yeah, and like what happens when he has to travel to tournaments? This is something I have not fully researched. Right now we have a very American rolling bag. I actually can't imagine that any of the other Japanese fencers have a bag this big. Lucy, triumph or fail?
I have a huge fail.
Okay.
So my 13-year-old daughter likes to flirt. She's a little bit of a flirt, and I'm okay. I'm fine with the whole flirting. How do I say this? I don't know if the kid on the other side of that flirty text has a parent who's reading them like I am, and I don't know if that parent is accepting of her child's sexuality as I am of mine. And this is something like we're constantly talking to Amelia about and reminding her that our situation in this moment of her life is a little different from her other girlfriends who may not have crushes on other girls. And after several conversations with her, it's like she doesn't get it. And we found some flirty text on her phone the other day, and I'm like, I don't even know who this is. Oh, it's so-and-so, and she's in my so-and-so class, and you've met her a million times. And I'm like, I know that, but I feel like she's not understanding 100% why my heart goes to my stomach when I see some of these flirty texts. And these texts are not, they're safe. They're like, oh, whenever I see you, I get butterflies in my stomach. Or she'll say, like, you're looking so hot today. Or it's nothing out of this world. But I am scared of who's reading it. Because if I'm reading them, I don't know what this child's parent knows about this child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like our concerns are not sinking in. We took away her phone for the weekend as punishment.
Wait, because of this or?
No, not because of the flirty text, but because we asked her, we asked you, please, can you flirt in person? Because text messages, I just feel like it's going to get lost in translation with whatever guardian adult is in charge of this child. And I don't know if they're cool, like mom and dad are cool. And I'm really concerned for your safety. You know, like I'm being a parent of a child who's very sure of who she is sexually is equal parts liberating and terrifying, because I just don't know who's reading these texts and I don't know how to get it through her. And I don't know if I'm communicating it right, where she doesn't, like, she's not getting it that you got to kind of be careful what you text to people, you know?
I guess I'm trying to like wrap my head around the situation.
Yes.
So she's sending the flirty texts. You're like fearful about what will happen. And so you want her to stop.
I don't want her to stop flirting.
No, you you're happy with who she is. But yes. You're saying like you don't understand what the consequences might be.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't
understand. But isn't that kind of parenting a teen?
Yes, it is. But I don't think she really, like, this generation is just like, what do you mean?
Yeah, because to her, that's you saying flirt in person. It's like they don't do that. They flirt on the text. Mm-hmm. And so you're essentially telling her don't flirt, right?
No, I'm telling her you can flirt, mama. It's okay if you have a question. You want to tell somebody, you know, your friend that she looks beautiful or that you like her hair or she looks hot or whatever the words that she uses. I'm fine with that. I'm just scared that it's getting lost in text. Like the translation of it all is getting lost. And I don't know if she has a parent who's okay or if this parent is going to go to school and be like, this child is trying to get my kid to be gay, because I've seen it happen.
No, for yes.
And
yes.
I'm scared of that. And I don't want her to go through that. And I want to protect her as much as I can from that. Even though she knows.
Have you said exactly that to her?
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
And what did she say?
She's like, okay, I won't do it again. And then she did it again. And I'm like, dude, we talked about this, Mel. We talked about this.
You nagging her about it is not going to change anything.
I know it's not. I know it's not. This is why I'm here. This is my fail. Yes. Yes, Zach, please say something funny.
No, I think it's like her at a new point in her life. Like she's growing up. And that's a tough thing to observe, because we don't have control over our children. We never have, but especially as they're becoming teenagers.
Have you told her that when it inevitably blows up one way or another, you'll be there for her?
100%. It's all, I mean, Jean and I were like, hey, honey, bunny, this is not, you know. Come on. She's like, oh, I know you're very accepting of my lifestyle choices, mom. And I'm like, oh my God. And then she'll follow it with, you know, but I don't care what the parent thinks. And I'm like, neither do I, babe, but I'm just trying to avoid it. But we really took away the phone this weekend because she did promise us, like, all right, I'll scale it back, or I'll try to have these conversations maybe in person. And I go, just be careful what you write, you know? You gotta be a little careful with those text messages. So, yeah.
I think it's really hard when we're in these moments where we are fearful or we know what's going to happen, like what could happen.
Yeah.
Has anyone been burned? Like any of her friends? Has someone been?
There's so many things that have happened in that school that, you know, that also adds. And I remind her, I'm like, hey, remember what happened with your friend and those AI photos? And she was like, oh my gosh, mom, you're overreacting. And, you know, we kind of laugh it off and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that I'm just like, I feel like it's a failure because she's just not understanding that she's got to be real careful what she texts out.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure taking away the phone or punishing for her for it is going to stop her.
We gave it back. Fine. We literally gave it back to her on Monday. And I said, hey, you're going to do what you're going to do. And I need you to understand. And I will continue to take away this phone from you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Until you understand that some of the stuff you text message gets lost in translation. Mm-hmm. People don't understand your humor. You know, like there's a lot of that's what she said jokes, which is
classic. You laughed.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Zach. Yeah. Classic. That's what she said. Or,
yeah,
you know, just like a very Michael approach to a lot of her flirting. And I'm like, listen, there's a reason why that show is no longer in syndication. Like, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
And she's just like, you're overreacting. I'm like, okay. But I just feel like it's a fail because she's not really understanding, like, I'm trying to protect her from, like, the bad stuff. And you're right. Maybe we're hitting that point where my kid is growing up and she's got to do what she's got to do. I told her, if you feel all this way, write it in a note. And she goes, okay, grandma.
What do you want me to do next? Yeah, slice like up a red onion and put it on my nightstand?
Yeah. Put it in her room. Oh, you know what I do when my kid does this? I take a tomato. I put it under the pillow.
And though. I put it under the pillow, and she'll never text again.
I do feel you, though, Lucy. Like, really, like, this is, I'm not looking forward to this. Noah is, you know, she's growing up fast, too, and I totally am going to freak out when this happens, too. So don't think that I'm not taking this seriously with you.
No, I know you.
No,
guys,
it sounds it sounds awful. Yeah.
It's like, the worst thing in the world.
I don't know what you're supposed to do, but I do know that whatever you do, she's not going to listen to you
at all. Listeners, as always, we want to hear your parenting stories too. Did you have a particularly great triumph or a funny fail? Send them to us, and we might share them on the show. You can write to us at our email address, KarenFeedingPod@slate.com, or leave a voicemail at 646-357-9318. We want to know what you all think, so be sure to reach out to us and keep the conversation going. And that's our show. Subscribe, leave a rating, and review, and tell all your amigos. If you want more parenting advice, you can find Karen Feeding, the column, on slate.com. This episode of Karen Feeding is produced by Maura Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Zach Rosen, I'm Lucy Lopez. Thanks for listening.